Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, February 7th. I'm Ray Graff. Valentine's Day a week away, and that means you have just enough time to make some sweet treats for your loved ones. In the studio with his holiday specials, it's Joe Serrata of Uncle Sam's Candy. If you're interested in learning about chocolates, caramels, any other candy to make your loved one's day, give us a call. Number is 800-348-2551. Yes, he has a few secrets he won't tell you, but he'll tell you the basics. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Chocolate, candy, your calls coming up on Vox Pop Food Friday right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Valentine's Day, 1 week away. And if you're on the hunt for sweets for your loved one, well, you've come to the right place. Joining us on this Food Friday is Joe Serrata of Uncle Sam's Candy. Uncle Sam's has been a Capital Region favorite for over 80 years. It offers homemade fudge, handmade chocolates, and of course, it's almond butter crunch. It has two locations in Latham and Schenectady. The number to call if you have a question about candy, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can email us if you wish, voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 1-800-348-2551. Joe Serrata, welcome back, sir.
Hey, it's great to be here.
You're flying solo today. What happened?
Yeah, I guess Tom Krause, he couldn't make it. He was not. He was under the weather.
Oh, really?
That's what he says.
Well, that's
yes.
No excuse. We come to work.
I know. Come on, Tom.
All right. Well, I hope Tom is listening, and we'll try to get some shots in on Tom.
He's got to put vitamins in his chocolate or something.
Oh, that could be the new thing, vitamin yes. Chocolate, right?
Yeah.
Hey, what's new over at Uncle Sam's?
Well, you know, Valentine's is the time for love, and if you love chocolate, we're the place to be.
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, today I brought a few things. We always try to do new things, you know, and something different. And we've got some adult things here. We've got some rum cordial cherries and some vodka cordial cherries, which
vodka?
Are a big hit. Yeah, we soak them in vodka. And the other ones we soak in rum. They got a slightly different flavor note.
Wait, I just had one of those. Am I going to be okay to do the show?
Yeah.
Which one did I have now?
I think... No, wait a minute. You had a regular cherry.
Oh, okay.
You didn't have the booze.
Well, give me one of the booze ones.
Oh, well, here they are right there with the stripes.
Okay.
So we've got those.
Which one is this, the vodka or the
that rum? One is the vodka, yeah. There
right.
You go. Now you're going to get a little buzz,
all right.
But not too much.
You explain this while I chew.
It's against. Is it still against the law?
No. I'm not running the controls.
All right.
Zach
okay.
Is.
So... Well, there used to be a law that you couldn't have a drink or something while you're on the air. I thought that was many years ago when I got my broadcasting license.
This is
college.
Food.
Okay. Well, it sure is. There's hardly any booze in it, but it reminds me of the court case years ago. The person that had DWI went before the judge, and they got picked up a second time. They were on probation, and the judge said, "Why did you drink?" "Oh, I didn't drink. I ate a pound of those chocolate-covered cherries with the brandy."
A pound.
And we laughed about it because... John McLaughlin came in to interview me, and we went through it all. I think he pulled the wool over the judge's eyes because the amount of alcohol in that pound of cherries probably had to be like a teaspoon. You know? I mean, okay. So the judge fell for it. Should have called me, is what I told John McLaughlin. Should have called me and asked me. But we make that stuff. And
you put vodka in this. Now,
yeah.
It must make it more difficult to actually make the chocolate when there's booze in it.
Well, no, not the chocolate. We put it in with the cherry. We soak the cherries. We get like a gallon of potato vodka, which I actually prefer. Okay, so we take the vodka. We soak the cherries in there for a month.
Yeah.
Then we drain the cherries out. We dip them in hot fondant, which is people that understand what fondant is, basically like a sugar type of an icing, if you will. Think about what's on top of your donut, the icings. And then that's hard, you know, it's hardened up and then it cools and we dip that in chocolate. Well, what happens is there's a process and it's a chemical process called inversion. Okay, it's a scientific thing, basically. You know, I don't understand science too well.
Well,
I'll leave that to somebody else.
All right.
The lack of oxygen, the sugar is encapsulated by the chocolate. There's no oxygen, and the sugar starts to break down to a syrup. So that's how you get the syrup inside those cherries.
Oh, I'll be darned.
So
it's very tasty. I really can't tell if it's vodka or not, but it's...
Well, it's got a little bite to it. It's not a lot, though.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And that's a popular seller over at Uncle Sam's?
Yeah, I think we're going to do one with some cayenne, too, at some stage.
Yeah, it's funny. You're talking about pepper being like a savory thing, being a trend now.
Right. We're doing some slightly, we're getting into the peppers and things. We did that when we got the Chocolate Gecko line. And what we're doing is rolling out some things called the Artisan line with some more unique things. Chia seeds, lavender, chipotle. We got a bacon bar, for instance.
Okay, now, did you bring a bacon bar?
No bacon bar today.
Note to Joe, bring bacon bar
next time. You're going to get a bacon bar, I guess.
Yeah.
Espresso bean with white chocolate, the 72%. Oh, wait a minute, here's the bacon bar.
Oh.
72% dark.
I got dibs.
With the bacon.
Oh,
there you go.
That. Look at that.
So, we're doing a few odd things, and we do a really great piece, and it's not a big seller because people don't know about it, but hopefully they will after today, a mango chili cream.
Oh.
And I think it's great. And the heat comes on slow but sure, and that's how I like it. A chipotle caramel with sea salt.
Now, these are popular, or
they're just catching on. People are like, oh, that's different. We're in a rather conservative area. People are afraid to try new things, but I really recommend they come in and ask for a sample.
Now, that's funny. You say we're in a conservative area. Have you been to chocolate shops around the country and you find some more radical things?
I don't travel a lot because I have dogs, but you know how it is. So, and the one dog is so grumpy, he doesn't like people. I can't even board him. He just bark at everybody.
Yeah.
So, the thing is, when I used to travel, that'd be the first thing I would do. I would get to the town, say I would go to Texas to see my pal, and I'd open the phone book looking for chocolate shops. That would be my first thing.
Yeah.
I rent a car. I drive around to all the chocolate shops, using the map. That's how long ago I had to I traveled. I had to use a map.
I love maps, and never find them anymore.
Right. No, there wasn't even GPS last time I went to Texas. So,
but I mean, what do you? First of all, two questions. One, what type of things did you learn when you went to a chocolate shop in Texas?
Well, usually, when I walk into a chocolate shop, I went to one in Kentucky a few years back, and I go to the counter and I show my business card. I say, "Would the owner be in?" And then they see my card and they say, "Oh, you own a chocolate shop in New York?" I say, "Yeah." So they automatically think it's Manhattan, but I get the full tour as a courtesy. So the owner will come back, and boy, they've been very kind. And people in my industry are exceptionally friendly.
Yeah, you and Tom get along very well.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I've known him for 30 years, and we always have a laugh. He's a great guy, and we all get along.
Yeah.
It's like restaurant owners. You go to a restaurant on Wednesday, and you see a guy who owns the restaurant down the street eating dinner next to you. It's how it is. It's cordial, and there's collegiality. But we would travel and go to a store and get the full tour, and you learn a lot from people inside your industry. Your peers can teach you a lot. And, of course, we're never too old or too experienced to learn. So we get ideas, and then we take those ideas home sometimes. We may play with them a little bit and come up with things, and some things are a hit, some things aren't.
Okay, this is great. Now, are there ones that you saw in your far-flung adventures that you tried and just didn't go over?
Yeah, like I make a peanut butter and jelly bar.
And sounds great.
It's got raspberry jelly. I tried it with grape. Raspberry is so much better, I think. But
why?
Nonetheless, it just tastes better with it. It's just raspberry jelly and peanut butter is super if you haven't had it.
Who hasn't had it?
Well, some people just are stuck on grape.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm not going to try that. It's crazy. But that's what I mean. People are hesitant to try. So I always say, you know what? If you ask us for a free sample, we will cut a piece and give it to you to try it. And if you don't like it, you can throw it in the garbage too. We won't be insulted. But I made that bar, and that was great, but it wasn't a big seller. So we only make it at the holidays. Matter of fact, we just made the last five pounds of it, small amount.
What kind of chocolate do you? I mean, to me,
milk
if you
chocolate.
Put, really? Because I would think if you put jelly in there, you'd want something that had a little bitter sweetness.
Well, we at Christmas time we do a milk and a dark.
Yeah.
But that's one of those items that I thought would be a great hit, and it just didn't catch on. But that happens. You're going to try different things, and people aren't going to take to them. It's fine. But some of the things we make have been wildly popular, and anything with salt these days has been a hit. And that brings me to the next thing. We're making peanut butter cups with a little bit of sea salt on top.
This one right here?
Yeah, and that's the jumbo. You got to cut it with a knife.
Yeah, or just eat the whole thing.
Or just put it on.
Plan B.
Right, the whole thing. It's the size of a cupcake.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, you know, it weighs about half a pound.
But the peanut butter has salt in it already.
Just a little bit, but when you add that sea salt on top, this one's dark chocolate. It just wakes it right up, in my opinion. And any baker will tell you, if you're cooking, you're baking, and you're using any type of dairy, you have to have a little bit of salt.
Yeah.
You know, it's like beef, potatoes, and dairy all need a little bit of salt.
Ooh, you know what? You gave me an idea. We'll bring this up when I come back. Joe Serrata is here from Uncle Sam's Candy. We talk chocolates and sweets and good stuff. If you have a question, 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. We'll be right back. Vox Pop, Food Friday. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. Joe Serrata is here from Uncle Sam's Candy. Tom Krause of Krause's is not here today. So Joe is flying solo and doing a fantastic job. I did not have the huge peanut butter cup because I think the people in the front office will want some, and if I bite it, they'll be upset. So we'll get a knife and we'll cut some in a little while. How long does it take to make? Do you bake this? What do you do with this?
No. It's so we make a peanut butter center, and then we put the chocolate in the cup, and then we layer in the peanut butter on top of it, and then we put the chocolate on top, swirl it around, put a little salt while it's still hasn't set up, and there you go.
Hmm.
So no, we don't. There's no real baking involved in what we do. It's cooking. You cook your butter crunch. It's a copper kettle over a gas stove, and your caramels, things like that, are cooked on top of a flame, not in an oven.
Uncle Sam's has been around for over 80 years now. Are the methods you guys use, I'm sure you've seen some pictures and seen documentation from the old days.
Well,
are they the same methods?
The equipment, I'll tell you, you go to auctions, and I went to an auction and bought some copper kettles and stoves, and those things are from probably the 40s.
Yeah.
So really technology... They are nicer. There's some computer-aided design now. They make brand-new stainless steel cookers and machines and stuff. There's a few companies left. Of course, over in China, they're making it and stuff now, too. There's a few American companies left, like the Savage Brothers out in Elk Grove, Illinois, who make beautiful products, super expensive. But the thing about these products, these devices and these stoves and whatnot, is they last forever. They're built like Sherman tanks.
Yeah.
So... I have some pretty old stoves and some copper kettles. I have bought some new kettles in the past because they do wear out. But, overall, the stuff is built so well and it's so sturdy that it could last a lifetime.
Joe Serrata is here from Uncle Sam's Candy. It's Vox Pop Food Friday. We talk candy making and delicious chocolate. 800-348-2551. All right, you got your pencil ready? If not, just remember, I have an idea for you.
Okay.
We were talking about bacon in chocolate. Here's your next great idea. It's going to be huge. Chocolate-covered beef jerky. Chocolate-covered Slim Jims.
Wait a minute. There you go. Wait, we did both of those.
No.
Yes,
this is my idea.
No, we have done them. Well, in the summer, we do a promotion every Wednesday. It's called Wacky Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we make that stuff.
Yeah.
Weird stuff.
Yeah. Okay. How'd it go?
Well, it's for strictly a free sample. Matter of fact, we had a dispute with somebody that was upset with us. Because they came to the store. We promoted on Facebook, Wacky Wednesday, and we're going to be dipping jalapeno peppers, for instance.
Fantastic.
Okay? We've done beef jerky. We've done Slim Jims. We've done Swiss cheese.
You've done cheese? Because that was my other idea. How did it taste?
It's okay. I mean, people eat a piece of cheese and then eat a piece of chocolate. Why not just combine them together and have one bite? But they... that stuff is always fun to do. We give it out as a free sample. Someone was angry at me because they showed up on Tuesday. Okay, now it's Wacky Wednesday.
All right.
Okay, showed up on Tuesday and wanted to buy this stuff. And we don't have it here yet, and we don't sell it. We're only doing it as a free.
Yeah.
It's simply we're giving you something free to taste. It's for fun. And if you really want it, you can come back and we'll do it for your special order if it's something you want. They were so mad at us and they blasted us on social media.
Oh,
said we're
no.
false advertisers.
Oh, boy.
I said, come on. I said, how are we the bad guys? We're giving away something for free. And you came a day early, and we're the bad guys.
On Wacky Wednesday, you come up with crazy ideas.
Yes.
Anything stick that you end up putting in your regular rotation?
Chocolate-covered matzah, which it was around Hanukkah.
How can you go
wrong? And so, sure, that was, and we end up selling some. We had some orders. It's not the product it used to be. Many years ago, it was a kind of a hit. You know,
yeah.
It was a popular product. Some of those ethnic ideas are not as popular as they once were, I've noticed, and things have changed. Obviously, tastes have changed.
Yeah.
You know, I used to say, well, what sells is vanilla butter creams. You know, that's
yeah.
like the mainstream American type of idea of what a piece of chocolate should be.
Yeah.
But things are going a little bit different today. There are some different tastes, and we're doing the things with the peppers and the savory and the sea salt, chocolate-covered licorice caramels with black Hawaiian sea salt.
You brought
on top.
Those last time.
Yeah, I mean, that's weird and unique, and it tastes great.
I should be working for you.
Just
I have
different.
Great ideas. I mean, yeah. We'll go to the phones here at 800-348-2551, but here's one for you. Chocolate roast beef sandwich. What do you
oh,
think?
Oh, come on.
All right, Renee and Broad Auburn. You just think about that. Renee and Broad Auburn, you're on. Hello, Renee.
Renee.
She's there, I
Uh-oh.
Think. Renee? All right, well, Renee will call back. Let's go over to Bob in Broad Auburn. Bob.
Hey, thank you. I probably know Renee. Anyway, the subject is, have you ever made chocolate-covered candied ginger? My mother, during the early 40s, managed a Fanny Farmer store in Gloversville, New York, and this was one of her favorites, and that's how I was introduced to chocolate-covered candied ginger. You talked about a lot of wild combinations, but do you do that? And I have another question. I missed the part where you spoke about the liquid in chocolate-covered cherries. I used to go to Lenox, Massachusetts, and buy them chocolate-covered cherries, the white, the dark, and the milk. And then can I melt chocolate in the microwave and make my own pecan bark?
Okay, so there's three questions. Number one, I'm happy to tell you we have chocolate-covered ginger.
Yeah.
And we sell that year-round. We have both
Ginger's
stores.
Ginger's very popular.
Yep. So in our Schenectady store, which would be closest to you, I don't know if you're in North Broad Auburn or just Broad Auburn, so you didn't specify that, but Schenectady's going
to
be
close. Well, I'm very close to the village. Okay. Where in Schenectady is yours?
It's right off Route 7, the crosstown near the Home Depot. It is across the street from the Bishop Gibbons High School.
You're not on Albany Street?
Yeah, it's Albany Street.
Yeah.
It's right off of Route 7. It's 2571 Albany Street. We do have a website. It's www.unclesamscandy.com, and you can see the directions, the addresses there. But we do have the ginger. The second question was regarding the cherries. You want to know how we do that?
Yeah.
Okay, so we take a fondant icing. It's kind of like the icing on your donut, you know, when you go to the donut shop and they ice the top. We basically pour that into a little mold when it's hot. We put the maraschino cherry into it, and then it firms up, and then we dip that by hand into chocolate. And then after maybe 10 days to 2 weeks, it begins to turn into a liquid form, into a creamy liquid form. Because
how long does it take?
It takes anywhere from 10 days to 2 weeks.
Really? That's a lot of time.
A lot of it has to do with how acidic the cherries are. If they're not very acidic, and cherries are always different. You know, it's just like any fruit. Then it's going to take a little bit longer. And, of course, the weather, if it's colder, it takes longer. Barometric pressure. We have to deal with all those vagaries. And,
yeah.
Candy and cooking, it's all the same. So it takes a couple weeks. So when you first make them, they're hard as rock inside because it's icing in a cherry. So it has to sit there before you can sell them. And so I can't make them today and sell them on Valentine's, unfortunately. I have to make them like 2 weeks ago. And that's what we did. All in January, we make our cherries in the different forms and the flavors and things. So then the third question is, if you buy chocolate, like say you get, we'll just use an example as a Hershey bar, which a lot of folks do, and you melt it in the microwave. One of the problems with real chocolate is it needs to be tempered, which means it has to be mechanically agitated and kept at a temperature of 89 or 90 degrees while that's happening. And at that time, you can dip something into it or add nuts and pour it out, and then you'll get that nice shine and crispness. If it's too hot and you just pour it out and put the nuts in, it's going to have that white, crispy, that bad appearance of the white. It's called bloom. It's not attractive. And all that really is, some people think it's mold or something. All that really is it's the fat, the cocoa butter that is destabilized, and it doesn't appear very nice, and it doesn't have a good mouthfeel either. It hits your tongue, and it's a little gritty. So perfectly edible if you melt your chocolate bar or something on the windowsill, and you can still eat it. It doesn't hurt you. It just isn't as appealing.
A double boiler, a better idea?
Yeah, and you use a thermometer. You try to get to about 90 degrees. Usually you can vary an inch, a degree or so. We use machines. They're called tempering kettles, and they actually have a motor underneath. They have a big, giant stainless steel kettle, and you put the chocolate in, and it stirs it around. There's a divider in the middle, and it spins it around, and we dip the product into that warm chocolate. It's 90 degrees, the chocolate.
Bob, thanks for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. Joe Serrata is here from Uncle Sam's Candy. What happens if it's 93 or 87?
Well, if it's 87, it starts to get really thick and hard to work with. And then if it's 93, it'll have that white appearance, that frosty look to it.
Even if you keep agitating it?
Yeah, because the temperature. So it has to be agitated at about 13 or 14 RPMs, gentle agitation, and it has to be at that temperature. It might start at a higher temperature. And what you do is you keep on agitating it. And you could put a little bit of shavings in it. It's called tempering. You add back some of tempered chocolate into it, and it'll increase the ability to temper and get back into the condition that you want to use it. It's a little tricky to work with, and you go to chef school, like a culinary school, they'll teach you how to do it.
Did you learn?
Self-taught, reading books, a hardcover book. Actually, I mean, I had no background in it when I was 24 years old. I just had a lot of ambition.
Right.
I wanted to do it. So Tom, he came from a family of candy makers.
Yeah.
So it was in his blood. You know, he was taught probably at a young age. I had to learn. I had to get some books and things like that. And I did hire someone who worked at Uncle Sam's back in the day, and she made the candy there with me, but I had already pretty much learned it all by then, honestly. And there's the machines that you use, they're kind of expensive and they're very specialized, but they will help you a lot, because the old days they used to just stir the stuff around in a kettle with a giant spatula or like a wooden paddle, and do it by hand. But then machines came about, and the machines make things a lot easier because they're thermostatically controlled. So you set the dial, and the new ones are even digital. And there's a thermocouple that will tell, read the temperature back to the thermistor, and the thermistor will turn on the heat or the cooling.
Now, you said the gear from the 40s, though, is every bit as good or better.
And maybe the thermometers weren't as good. Because they were analog, old-fashioned mercury thermometer.
Yeah.
But you can replace that now with, like, the digital gauges and a thermal couple, and you can get a very accurate. And they have water-jacketed big kettles. I had one that I got. I kind of inherited it from a company I bought out. And that thing weighed about 800 pounds. and I used an engine hoist, which I had because I like to work on old cars. I used an engine hoist to move that thing around. And I put it in my pool area, and I used it for a planner. It was so primitive. It was probably 100 years old.
Wow.
And I couldn't see scrapping it because it was a work of art in a sense. So I used it as a planner, and I used to put petunias in it. It was great.
Joe Serrata is here from Uncle Sam's Candy. It's Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. You mentioned you're about 24, and you started reading up on this. First of all, what did you do before that? And
well,
second of all, why did you make that switch? What got into you?
Well, I was a worker. I started at my aunt's banquet house.
Oh, you were in restaurants.
Worked in the restaurant. And my aunt used to always encourage me to get an education, which I did. I studied economics and history at Union College. I came out and I worked at a few jobs. And then I wanted to be self-employed because I felt that I was a terrible employee. I was the kind of guy that you fire because he's a good worker, but he's just got a loud mouth.
Sure.
So you fire.
You should have gone into radio.
Yeah, I really should have. But, you know, that was I'm the kind of guy that doesn't take directions well because I come up with my own ideas.
Yes.
So I went into business on my own, and I kind of fell into it. It's a long story, but I decided I was going to be as good as I could be doing it. And here I am 31 years. I'm 54 now, 31 years later, and I'm having the time of my life, and it's really great.
You're doing good work.
We enjoy it. And, you know, I used to sit there and I'd say, well, look at these people. This guy's a surgeon. This guy's he's curing cancer. Look at this one, you know, or this lady. She's an attorney. She's representing the indigent. She's saving people. And I'd say, well, what am I doing? Making candy. Then it came to me after a long time that I was actually in doing something that I'm making people happy. I'm bringing joy to their life.
Right.
So it when I realized that, I might have been in my 30s or 40s. This is an important mission, and we have to keep doing it because I've seen people come to me with tears in their eyes and tell me how much it means that they can buy this chocolate and give it to their children because their grandma brought this chocolate to them when they were little.
Yeah.
And so it told me it's an important function to be an entrepreneur and be out there selling something of high quality to people and providing good service. And we love doing it, and the people are great.
Joe Serrata is our guest. It's Food Friday. He is from Uncle Sam's Candy. The number is 800-348-2551. Now let's go back to Broad Alvin for the elusive Renee. Are you on?
I am.
Hi, you're on.
Joe, it's Renee from Rotterdam, too.
Oh, hey, how are you?
I'm good. So, question for you. When you make chocolate dipped strawberries, how do you make the chocolate shiny?
Well, the chocolate has to be in temper. And that's what I just went over.
Okay.
It has to be that 89, 90 degrees, and it has to be agitated gently. So, in a double boiler, you're going to melt some chocolate in the microwave, put it in that double boiler, or melt it on the double boiler at a very low temperature, and use your thermometer, and then take some shavings of some chocolate. You know, some tempered chocolate, the original chocolate, and add it back and keep stirring it and stirring it. And when that hits 89, 90 degrees, that's when you put your strawberries into that chocolate and dip them. And it's going to take couple times to get it right, I'm sure. It takes a little practice.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, if I didn't lose my call driving home, I would have heard that.
Well, thank you for calling back, Renee. We appreciate it very much. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Food Friday. Joe Serrata is here. How are the roads, by the way?
They're not too bad, but they're not too good either.
All right, so if you're driving around, you know this already, take it easy out there. Let's go to Brandon and Troy. Brandon.
Hi. I was wondering if you might talk about the whole fair trade chocolates that I see. That's pretty trendy. What's the idea behind it? You could say more about that. I'm just going to hang up.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Sure. Okay, Brandon. You know, fair trade has been a concept that's been bandied about for several years regarding where the chocolate, things like coffee and chocolate and other products come from equatorial territories and nations, which means all along the equator, whether it be in the Far East, Africa, or in Central South America. So that's where things like chocolate and coffee grow. You can't grow coffee beans, for instance, in upstate New York, right? So
why?
Because they are not a fruit that can be grown
in a hothouse or something. Yeah. Right?
Well, I don't know about that. I think it's kind of more like
the terroir.
Yes, the terroir, and you got grapes. Okay, you can grow a vineyard here, right?
Right.
But I don't know how well those grapes are going to grow. You know, for instance, on the equator.
Right.
You know, they do. Like in Chile, right? Chile, they have vineyards, but it's in the mountains, it's cold, whatever. So you have to have probably the certain type of soil, the certain amount of, probably the amount of sunshine.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
It's probably going to be the key. You know, you got chocolate, it's on the equator. So you have nations there like Guatemala, you have Africa, and they have a lot of issues, right? I mean, these were colonized nations at one point, developing nations, third world nations, you know, which is probably an old-fashioned term, but places where there is perhaps strife, starvation, privation, and other issues regarding what we would consider today to be called social justice issues. Okay, so there's been a movement to get the people that grow the chocolate beans, and they happen to be plantations of chocolate beans, okay, massive, massive lands, okay, and companies like Nestle, okay, and own these plantations, big, big companies, international companies. And the idea is fair trade is to ensure that the workers are receiving a fair wage, decent working conditions.
Now, but who stipulates what that fair wage is?
Well, that's the question. You know, today, you know, maybe it's $10 a day in Africa. I don't know. I don't know the detailed economics of it. But, you know, the question is maybe they're only getting $2. Now, maybe starvation level is $1. But they need really to be getting a living wage of $5 or $10. And those are the questions that the economists are arguing about. They're arguing about in the UN. Places like that, they're not protected. The folks are not protected by the same laws we are here. You know, you can't hire people for a dollar an hour here, okay? You can't make someone work 18 hours a day here. You know, you can't, okay? So that's the thing about, you know, what we have here, the context that we have is that we have fairness for our workers. And there, maybe not so much. On the other hand, if we were to stop buying chocolate because it's made in places like that, what would we do to those economies? And would there be more strife, civil war, mayhem, starvation, and other issues? So the question is, can we move, you know, it slowly but surely in a direction of more justice for those workers, those people on those plantations in Africa and in the Central America.
And you've given this some thought. Joe Serrata is our guest from Uncle Sam's Candy. It's Food Today, Food Friday, candy in particular. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be right back. Zach giving me the eye here. That's Jimi Hendrix. He's speaking. What do you want? It's supposed to be an instrumental, but, you know.
You keep playing that. I love rock.
Third Stone from the Sun. He speaks a little bit in there. That's Vox Pop, Food Friday, 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Joe Serrata is here from Uncle Sam's Candy. Jackie Orchard in the studio here with a knife, which is something I'm sure we're going to hear that phrase many times in months to come. She'll be helping us produce this program, but she's really into the idea of this huge peanut butter cup. But I said, no, you can't have the whole thing. So she's going to cut some. Now look at that. She's got
you can't use plastic
fork and
they're
a plastic.
They're already bending. They're not good for the earth.
Hold it with your finger. Don't
use
worry about
stainless
it.
Stainless steel so knife.
You're a producer. You're sanitized. While you're doing that, this email came in from Andrew. And Andrew writes, in the cartoon film Mickey and the Beanstalk, the giant calls for chocolate pot roast with pistachio gravy, which I think would be a great idea. That's from Andrew.
Oh, that's why we don't let children run the candy shop.
You know what? I think that's a great idea. I'm telling you, you make a chocolate gravy for some nice, like a pork roast. Oh, yeah. Forget about it. This is from Michael. Michael says, my daughter's turning 13, and we are having a birthday celebration over the weekend. Her 9-year-old sister, who loves to cook and bake, wants to make her something unique. Do you have any suggestions for some simple candy she could make that she could get her hands around and wouldn't require me cleaning the kitchen for an hour and a half?
All right, do what I said with the tempered chocolate on the double boiler and take yourself some milk chocolate and then make some kind of crazy bark. Pour it out on a pan once it's tempered, and you could put like Reese's Pieces, pieces of pretzel, other kinds of candy. You could even put gummy bears. We sell those. The German ones.
Really?
Yeah.
Chocolate gummy bears?
Yeah, why not? Put them on there and make a chocolate pizza. Do it round. Put all kinds of crazy stuff. And before it's completely firmed up, take that pizza wheel and cut it into slices. There, that'll be fun. How's that?
All right. Now, you're Italian, right?
Well, I am half Italian, yes.
So, I mean, you know, like salami or pepperoncini or something?
Which means I'm basically all Italian.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, there are a lot of things
so
you could coat
salami with, I don't know if we've done that for Wacky Wednesday, but we will.
See, that's my idea. Let's go back to the phones here, 800-348-2551. Donna in Avril Park. Donna.
Hi, Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
You betcha.
My question is about apricots. I absolutely love dark chocolate covered apricots. But the apricots you get in the stores are small and kind of hard and chewy. When I get quality apricots at the candy store, they're bigger and softer. Where do those come from?
Before you answer, Joe, I thought you said apricot, and I said, oh, that's got to be the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. Now, okay. Apricots, I got you.
Glacé apricots, which means they've been candied into with a syrup. And they are something we get from Australia. They're grown there, and they're glacéd in Australia.
And
then they are imported. And that's what we get, pineapple and apricots and pears and orange peel, lemon peel, and orange slices, too. It's really nice, and they're juicy and syrupy, and they're much nicer than those dried apricots you buy in the market.
Outstanding. Hello?
Buying them is going to be kind of difficult. You're not going to find them in the grocery store. Nah, they're just not going to. People mostly don't even know what they are. And so you could buy them from us on Dip. We'll sell them to you.
Okay. Well, there you go. Donna, thanks a lot for the call. By the way, Jackie managed to cut up the huge peanut butter cup. This looks like just straight peanut butter in the middle here.
Well, it's got some other things in it, like powdered confectionery sugar.
Ah. Yeah. To make it healthy. All right.
Yeah, to make it firmer.
Let's go back to the phones. I got to try this thing. Drew in Albany, you're up.
Thanks for taking my call. There used to be a shop on Route 9 north of Latham Circle called the Peanut Principal.
Nick.
My wife and I shopped there for many years. They had a kitchen. They made chocolate things. But one of our very favorites was dark chocolate almond bark. And they would never tell us, since they didn't make it, they would never tell us where they got it. And so they're out of business now, and I wondered whether your company makes it, and if not, where you think I ought to try and find it.
We have milk dark and white almond bark. We also have Brazil nut bark. We have cashew bark. We have pecan bark and walnut bark. And we also sell a box of the mixed, all the various nuts mixed. And in milk, dark, and white chocolate. And, yes, we absolutely have it in our store. You're probably closer to the Newton Plaza store on Route 9, and we certainly have it. We're open 8 in the morning to 8 p.m. and for the holiday. And, of course, we normally open at 10 and close at 8. But right now we're open from 8 to 8.
This is for the holidays, huh?
Yes. Okay. And we stay late, like the Valentine's Day. I normally don't close the door until about maybe 9:30. So all those gentlemen who are on, you know, running late, because we know it's always men. After 6 p.m., it's always men.
Yeah.
And that's okay, because I'm a man. I understand. And you get there on the way home, and we will be open for you. We will not close the door in your face if you're running late. And if you
that's
call
solidarity
us
for
and say, hey, you know, I'm running late, we'll stay open for you. We do that.
So you knew Nick then, or know Nick?
Oh, yeah, I remember him. He passed on, and his wife did it for a bit, and then she retired. And certainly they I'm not sure where he got the bark.
Wow.
But, yeah, he didn't make chocolates per se, but he did roast peanuts and make peanut butter.
I remember
and
that
others.
Place. It was very good indeed. The number here is 800-348-2551. And John in Gloversville. John, you're on.
Hi. A long time ago when I was in the service in C-Rats, there used to be a chocolate wafer, at least a quarter inch thick, that was the most delicious chocolate I ever had in my life at the time. And since then, I haven't found chocolate like that. But I heard on one of the public radio things, NPR things, that Hershey Company has had something passed where they, for imports, they restricted chocolate content or bean content or something. Is that true?
I'm not really sure about that at all. I've never heard that. Hershey, of course, was a huge and is a huge company in Pennsylvania and had a lot of political clout. So that could have been at the time. And certainly the chocolate you found in your rations was Hershey. And they probably, you know, had quite the contract. But I don't know anything about restricting the content because it's like the Wild West in a way, because there's all sorts of, as long as it meets the standard for chocolate, there are all sorts of grades of chocolate. There are all sorts of levels of cocoa. And
who grades them?
Well, you know, the companies themselves grade the cocoa content, and they report that. But as far as, like, the qualities of the chocolate, they don't say, oh, ours is high quality, low quality. It's kind of it's up to the consumer and people like myself to, like, try something and say, oh, this is terrible. Because sometimes and they have, you know, there's, like, say, like, companies can get the competition's product, which they always do, okay? First thing company does is they want to see what their competition. So they will run, like, mass spectrometer tests and see, okay, how's the milling on this chocolate? Well, Hershey's, for instance, they don't grind those beans for very many days, okay? So those people will say it tastes gritty because your tongue is so sensitive, you can tell that it is gritty because the cocoa beans have not been ground to the kind of level, say, an artisan chocolate is.
Well, that's fascinating. John, thanks for the call. A lot of us grew up with that. One of my first memories is driving around in an old 65 Pontiac with my father. He said, we had to stop over at the gas station.
What kind? Catalina? What was it?
It was a Le Mans. And he said, we got to get a candy bar. And it was a Hershey's bar. It was like the greatest thing I ever had. A lot of people grow up with that.
Of course.
I find it very fascinating. You say, you know, these companies, they're not going to say we got poor quality, good quality. But you do rate the amount. So this Uncle Sam's chocolate, dark chocolate with bacon, 72%.
Yeah, it's a bittersweet chocolate.
Right. Now, we know about the percentages. You, as a chocolate guy, what makes a good quality chocolate? In other words,
okay.
I get the quantity. That's easily measurable. What's the difference between a good and a bad chocolate?
So the beans to start with, okay? So it has to be made with very high quality beans.
Yeah.
That's number one.
But how do you know it's a high quality?
Well,
a bean's a bean, right?
The industry knows that, and because the reputations, and we are very astute in watching what they're doing, if there's any changes. I can tell you that the chocolate I use for most of my chocolate, I use two different companies, okay? The chocolate I use for most of my milk and dark chocolate is has not changed that recipe since the 1930s.
Yeah.
And they're using the same beans that the company owns the plantations. And they're using the same sources of milk, okay? And they're using the same process, okay? So they grind those beans for so many days in order to get the millionths of a centimeter of grade.
Okay, that's measurable.
That's measurable. Okay, so they can measure how big those molecules are, how big those pieces of chocolate in that bar, you know, that gets ground. It's like anything. Like, take let's just flaxseed. Let me just give you an example. So, you know, whole flaxseed.
Yeah.
And then you grind it up. And you can grind it in a mortar and pestle, and you grind it to maybe a third of the size of the whole flaxseed. Well, then there's machines you could put that in and make it into a powder.
Right.
And then you could keep grinding it and making it even finer powder. Well, that's what they do with a cocoa bean. And so then the byproduct is the cocoa powder. It's kind of the waste.
Yeah.
But you get that cocoa mass, which is qualified by the FDA. It's called chocolate liqueur. It's not alcohol.
Gotcha.
But it's cocoa mass. And that has to be milled to the finest level. And then you add the milk product and the sugar. And the thing about chocolate is if the milk tastes funny or the milk isn't good and it's dry milk, it's dehydrated milk, it's going to taste funny.
Hmm.
So there have been companies that open up factories on the West Coast to make the chocolate there, but the milk product from the West Coast didn't meet the grade, and the chocolate tasted funny.
Fascinating.
So the dairy products we get from, say, upstate New York, Vermont, and even like Wisconsin, they really are good. And it's because of the grass and the terroir, as you say.
Terroir, yes.
Yeah. And they really are good. That's what the cows eat. They make better milk.
All right, we'll go back to the phones here in a minute. But next time you're on, we should do a blind taste test with some that you would consider to be not so good. We won't name the brands.
That's
and
right.
Some to be good. I'll bet you somebody like me might surprise you and say, I like this one better. Well, I like the gritty one better.
Supermarket chocolate, when you taste it compared to ours, you start to see the difference.
I think we'll need to do that.
If you're not doing a taste test and comparing at the same time, it tastes good. I've had people say, I love Reese's peanut butter cups. Then I say, well, try mine.
Oh, by the way, yours is gone.
Well, when they try mine, they say, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, let's go back to the phones here. And Julie in Copac. Julie.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay. I just wanted to make a comment that this is the first time I've listened to your show, actually. And I wanted to say I am so impressed with, is it Joe?
Joe.
That's me. From Joe. And you are so clear, so patient, so knowledgeable. I am just totally impressed, and I am enthralled with your show. So thank you so much. It's wonderful.
Wow. I will be out front saying autographs. Well,
Julie, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. You know,
thank you.
You ever watch Fawlty Towers? So John Cleese plays this very harried motel owner, and everybody's always upset, all his customers, and they had a satisfied customer, and he turns to his wife and says, oh, satisfied customer. We should have her stuffed. And I think we got a happy listener there. That's great. Let's go to Susan in Wappinger. Susan.
Hi. I just have a comment. I grew up in Troy, and it wouldn't have been Christmas without peanut butter ribbon candy.
Ooh.
Do you still make that?
Yeah, we don't make it ourselves. We buy it from somebody who makes it for us. There are very few people making it.
You did used to make it, though.
No.
You used to make it a long time ago, right?
Well, Uncle Sam's never really had a factory for that. There are some pieces of equipment. They're called crimpers. And you run this hot candy through the crimping machine to make it look like a ribbon, a crimped up ribbon. And and we don't have those. Never have. They've always come from a vendor. But I got to tell you, there's only a tiny handful of people left making this
stuff. It's so good,
anymore.
Though.
Like maybe a dozen people in the whole nation.
How many? A dozen?
Yeah, maybe.
Wow. Susan, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Chris in New Paltz. Chris.
Hey. Earlier in the show, Ray made a comment of the idea of like making a chocolate sauce for a pork loin.
Yeah.
And that reminded me of the Mexican tradition of mole.
Yeah.
Using spiced chocolates on chicken and stuff like that.
Yep.
So I was just wondering if you had any insight into how they go about making sauces like that are not sweet, you know, savory chocolate.
Delicious.
Okay, you know, it's funny when you mentioned the gravy thing. I had a hard enough time making a mole. So, okay, mole would be kind of a pepper sauce that you put on a chicken or something. That does have cocoa in it, chocolate in it. So you would probably use a cocoa powder. Okay, because it's more like a paste.
Yeah, and it's so good, though.
And it would have ground up nuts. It could have some chipotle in it, you know, and you make a paste. And sometimes Mexican cooking, and I'm a gourmet, so I like to
Are you
cook,
really?
Yeah, I like to cook savory meals. So I'm overweight not because I eat a lot of candy, because I eat a lot of savory meals. It's funny.
Yeah, okay.
But I will cook, and I can tell you that it's like a curry. It's not far
it's
off.
It's fantastic.
Different.
Yeah, you've had chicken mole, right?
Yeah, and I can make, you know, like say a chili Colorado. It's kind of more like a curry than it is like a chili that people make, you know, for the Super Bowl.
Well, I got to tell you, Joe, you handled yourself very well here. We're done with the show, and have a great holiday. We'll see
it's
you.
Awesome to be here.
We'll see you soon. Support comes from HGS Home Chef in historic Hillsdale, New York, for cooking classes in two designer kitchens taught by national and local specialists. HillsdaleGeneralStore.com for what's cooking. Dr. Theta Patterson at Associates, a medical practice specializing in dermatology and dermatologic surgery, serving the Capital Region and surrounding areas since 1995. When it comes to skin, this practice is in THETAPatterson.com. Pike Global Foods, bulk ingredients for makers of chocolates, pastries, confections, and baked goods, wholesale and online direct at PikeGlobalFoods.com. At Cafe Capriccio, Albany, New York, the Rua family offering authentic Italian cooking and hospitality to downtown Albany and organizing tours to Italy for over 37 years. CafeCapriccio.com. Thanks again to Joe Serrata of Uncle Sam's Candy for joining us today. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Susie Chekai took the calls. Our producer, Jim Lavoulis, and Jackie Orchard. I'm Ray Graff. Thanks for being with us this week on Vox Pop. No Medical Monday next week. Our fun drive kicks off at 6 a.m. So join us. Now, remember, you can pledge at the lockbox, wamc.org. Do it all weekend. We'll have a very short drive. We'll see you Monday.